Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Insightful Journey podcast. This is episode 5 as we are recording, and it still blows me away. My name is Charlie, and I am joined by my co-host.
Hey, guys, it's Jameson. How are you guys doing this weekend? Or week now when it comes out?
Yeah, whatever it is when you're listening to this. We do record on a Sunday, so that's our state of mind when we're recording. So,
right. So
Jameson, have any fun this past couple of weeks? Anything going on?
Just craziness with the children in the school and the poor Genevieve getting sick every other week because it's her first year in school.
Oh,
that's rough to deal with.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's always tough. Kids are little germ factories. Schools are germ factories. It's just like, it's horrible. But part of life.
Yeah, and it was, like, heartbreaking because she's been sick. Like, she's been in school for, like, 100-some days, 120 days. And she comes up to me the other day, and she goes, "Daddy, when will I stop coughing?" I'm like, "Oh, dear, I'm sorry."
Oh.
It's like, we take her to the doctor, and the doctor's like, well, she's just got to, it's got to run its course. And she's, not got a fever, you know. But she's following in her dad's footsteps. She gets ear infections like all the time. And I just, being deaf in one ear because of ear infections, I'm constantly like worried for her. I'm like, if she has anything with her ears, I'm like, we got to get her checked.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a concern. All right. Well, here we are, episode 5. That last episode, episode 4, with our special guest, Richard Lael Lillard. I hope everybody has downloaded, listened to that episode. It was so much fun getting to just spend some time talking with him. I know Jameson.
Absolute blast.
Yeah, I know you were pretty excited about that one. You had never spoken with him before. In person.
Right, not in person. Like, we've chit-chatted, like, here and there for years, but not, like, actually, like, communicated over the phone. So I was excited to, like, hear him, talk to him, and, like, get to, like, scratch his brain a little bit. And it was so much fun. Absolutely blast.
Yeah, definitely. It's fun. He is a very dear friend of mine, and I always enjoy the times I get to talk with him. And I never know where the conversation's going to go with him, so that episode was a lot of fun.
It was a little all over the place, but it was a blast.
It was. As long as we had fun, that's really what matters. I enjoy this thing. So this episode, we're going to branch out a little bit, I feel. You know, we've done a lot of tarot. We've covered, we've covered a lot, and we've also just barely scratched the surface. It's just...
Right.
You know, that's the craziness with tarot is, it's so much, so much. I mean, well, it's, over 100, depending on your math, it's 100 to a couple hundred years old. It's been around forever, and it's evolved and changed, and, we're just students of where we currently are, I guess.
Right.
Yeah,
and I just hope that it stick. You know how years ago it was like so many like the not everybody but like in like the public it was like, oh no, you do tarot, and it's like now it's just more like widely recognized, and I love that. So
oh yeah.
Hopefully it stays like one of those things where people can enjoy it and not worry about it. Other people's opinions, which other people's opinions shouldn't matter anyways.
That is true.
Well, they matter to a point, you know what I mean? They shouldn't affect your day-to-day life is more what I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly. That's really it. I know that through the years, even just the few years I've been doing this, as a joke, it has become more widespread, more accepting. There's all kinds of things that are it's more widespread now, more accepting. It's not so much, ooh, scary or weird or taboo kind of thing. I know a lot more people hold stock in tarot and tarot readings, so it's just...
Yeah, and it's so much easier to find, psychic reading fairs or, like a lot of the metaphysics shops around here, even the crystal shops, they have, like... Actually, I think today, at one of my favorites, they have their day where you can go in and get readings from all kinds of readers. I might look into signing up for that.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I need to look around here. There's a couple shops around here. There's one actually in the town where I live. And I know they have readers. I might go talk to them and see about, you know, like maybe becoming a reader, at least part-time. And just, you know, getting that, get it out there a little more, you know, public. Get some, you know, people just walking in off the street, you know, and go, hey, I want a reading. So that's always fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And you get to, like, those people are always there for specifically that, so you know they come in open-minded and want to enjoy your time and stuff, mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're not, hey, do you have a deck of cards handy?
I always have a deck of cards handy. Well, good.
Well, then, I'm putting you on the spot. I need a reading.
Oh, snap, you really are putting me on the spot.
I am. I'm going to do it right here on the podcast. We didn't get to do it during the week. Timing never worked out. I'm like, we're on the podcast. Now he has to give me a reading.
That's great. Just some background information for everybody else that's listening. I've been doing readings for a really, really long time, and usually the ones I do person to person have been people I've spent a lot of time with, very close. Charlie and I are very close, but I started switching up my process for reading to found that when I'm doing readings, I have really better like insight and able to like get more information from my guides when I have private time to do that. So a lot of my recent readings have been through like making reports, and people that want a reading, I'll do the reading with the cards, take pictures, send the pictures to them, and spend time journaling my like insight and what I feel and what I see from the cards, and then translate that and write a report to them. And I've had really, really great readings doing that. But I have lost my touch with doing it on the spot. And so Charlie is helping me get more comfortable with on-the-spot readings. And I guess he decided today is the day. We're doing it on the air.
Yeah, doing it on air. Yeah, you know, if you're going to do an event and the public's walking up, you know, you're on the spot. Bam. It's like the you know person sits there, yeah, hey, I want a reading. You gotta do it. So, I mean,
exactly.
Jump in.
And I have to get more comfortable with that myself. I like the way I've been doing readings because it's more personal to me, but also a lot of people really, really want the readings done in person. And you don't have the time to sit down and really like think on what you're feeling and whatnot. So you kind of just have to let it flow.
Yeah.
So that's what I got to work on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're doing an event like that where the public is coming up, you know, someone's not going to sit down and go, okay, you know, now we're going to go through this 20-minute process so I can do all the, you know, they're going to get up and walk away. You know, you're not, or if you do have one, you know, you'll have one, maybe two customers. You won't do a lot of readings. You know, I'm not saying the goal is to have a lot of readings, but, you know, if you're an event, that's part of it. So I tell you, those days are draining, but I love them.
Oh, it sounds like so much fun. And I don't know if I'd be able to do that quite yet until I get better at, like, grounding my energy. Because I find, like, after, like, three readings, I'm usually, like, pretty, like, worn out, like, mentally and physically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's something I got to work on.
Yeah, it definitely takes a toll. And, you know, there's a lot of people don't understand. You know, we're not just shuffling cards and looking at a picture and give you a message. It's not like bam, bam, and this takes nothing. There is an investment of our time and our energy to do a reading for you. So, you know, it's always most people come up in events. They're cognizant of that, they realize that, and so on. It's just when people reach out online, sometimes they just don't recognize that there is an investment of your time and energy to do this reading if it's really going to connect and be good. And so, you know, we can't just keep going and going and going on things, you know. So it's just trying to set the boundaries with people is sometimes challenging. All right, so I heard you shuffle. What you got?
All right, so I am pulling the cards now. I'm on card number 2. I'm going to do 3 for you. And, there we go. Yeah, the way I pull my cards is a lot of people will shuffle and cut, and then they pull from the top. And I've found that I very much enjoy shuffling, and then I spread my cards into a big arc, and then I run my hands over them until I'll get like a tingle or a tickle or a feeling, and whatever that feeling is, it's like my that's I
That,
know that's the card, and I pull it.
yeah, then you know. That's awesome. Yeah,
All
I
right.
just shuffle the cards until I get the little feeling like, okay, I shuffled them. Now just, start turn over. I just deal from the top of the deck, but that's how I do it. All right, so what have we got there, Mr. Jameson? What did you pick up
All
for
right,
me?
so card number one, we have the Empress. So like spiritual strength and oh man, my brain just fried out. See, I told you, this is why I gotta work on it.
Exactly,
A lot of
exactly.
mental power
You know.
and like always soaring above and like going that extra mile. You have a clear view of the things you want, but you can also from that height see the good and bad. It's usually a feminine figure, so was there somebody like was there a feminine figure that helped you in the past?
Yeah, there's been several.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we all have moms, so what am I talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if on this journey, there's been quite a few female
Right,
mentors.
right. And basically, learning to like follow your intuition and trying to not focus on the bad, even though you see it.
Okay.
Then our second card is strength. You're finding your power, and you're like realizing that you have infinite potential. And the hard part is finding that focus, especially when it sometimes it feels like there's like a tickle on your nose, a distraction, all these things that are like around you, but you're surrounded by so much beauty and all these wonderful ideas, and but you got to stay focused and use the strengths that you have, which personally, since I met you, you're filled with wisdom, you're filled with strength, and right now it's all about using those to make things happen. Now we have the Nine of Pentacles,
Ooh, nice.
and I haven't pulled the Nine of Pentacles in a long time. So the Nine of Pentacles, you are trying to find that peaceful setting and comfort with the things that you're doing ahead of you. You're trying to relax, surrounded by the ones you love, and you want to not have all of the distractions from the past affect your future coming. I would say that the biggest thing is to remember that the sun is shining above you and you have all the tools there with you to use. And I feel like that was probably the most terrible reading I've done in a long time.
Actually, that's good. That's good. See, yeah, when you get put on the spot, it's like, oh shit, what the hell does this card mean? Yeah,
Right.
it's like
Oh
what?
yeah, and I'm trying to remember, like I'm lucky because the usually the higher arcana I'm like more acquainted with, and but the minor arcana, like I have a lot of the gists, and sometimes I have to like go back and remind myself when it comes through, and yeah. Oh, okay. So I was close. I'm sorry. I'm backtracking and looking through my notes and
Look at
stuff.
him. They're nice. You're good. You did actually really well. Really well.
Yeah, it looks like I actually kind of nailed the meanings. I'm proud of that.
Yeah, see?
Think the one I was the most concerned about was the Empress, because I never pull the Empress in my readings almost ever, so.
Yeah, you have a good take on that. For me, the Empress is always nature. Remember that. Get out to nature. Put your feet in the grass, hug a tree, that kind of thing. Remember. It's not just all the inside, the business, and the technology. There's the whole outside world too. So, it's not really a balance because temperance is the balance for me. But the Empress is, remember, you need that part. You need part of your whole is nature. Connect to it.
Right.
You did really good,
Oh,
really
I
good.
am. I did better than I thought. Yeah, sorry. I'm looking at my notes and I'm like, I got the main idea. I just had
See.
the be more confident and focused.
Exactly. Just the more you do it, the more confident you get. You know those meanings. You were good. You're really good at that. So it's a great reading. You know, I mean, I can just tell you my interpretations of those cards, but you were right on. You know, you were doing the reading for me, and that's the most important thing, is what messages were you getting through those cards? And I think you did really good. So we'll do more practice on that, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what I'm working for. Because it's like, I'm confident when I'm like able to do it alone. And I need to keep that confidence when I'm put on the spot.
Yeah. It's basically, especially when you're doing like the events in public, it's how to ground yourself, how to, some people say shielding. I don't shield so much anymore. I did at first because my first few readings, I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. It's easy. No problem. I did not expect what was going to come through the deck with the energy and the emotions and everything that was going to come through to me. So I personally was not prepared. And I've learned how to set myself. So it's like, I get it. I see it. I get the message. I can convey the message. And then all that energy, I just ground it right back out of me. It just flows right down. You know, once I have given the message, the rest of that energy just flows down my feet into the earth and it's gone. So that's how.
And that's great. And what's funny is in shamanism, that's like one of our biggest like rituals for ourselves and to connect in is to. Actually, when you ground yourself, you're letting go of the heavy energy. And that doesn't mean like bad or dark. It just means like when things that like if you're holding on to too much energy for too long, because energy is supposed to flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to go through you and replenish you and strengthen you. But if the energy gets stuck in there, it's like when you overcharge a battery, your battery's not charged, it's already charged, and then you keep charging it. You're going to burn out the battery.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
So you have to make sure that energy is used and flows through you so that you don't gain heavy energy. And then that's actually what the earth thrives on. In the Pakakuna tradition, Pachamama, she literally like feeds on the heavy energy and she replenishes our light energy.
Wow.
So, like, when you, like you said, you let it flow out of you and into the earth at that same time, because energy can't be, you're not losing energy. It has to come, like, when you're pushing your energy out and down, there's going to be an inflow. And that's where the light energy from Mother Earth comes and replenishes yours. So grounding is super important.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I want to get into that topic about shamanism and so on, and being a shaman. What is this? What does it mean? Since you are a shaman, I found out I was doing an event in October up in Virginia City, and one of the guests there was the lovely Sarah Lemos. Yes, and she's a gifted psychic. She is. And God, such a beautiful heart. She is the most wonderful person. I tell you, I am so fortunate. I've met so many wonderful people. Anyway, she was doing little readings for people. And so I got a reading from her. And, you know, I sat down. She was shuffling her cards and everything. She stops and she looks at me. And, like, her eyes are, like, super huge. Like, I have never seen her go, like, it's like this wow expression on her face. Like, and I'm like, what? And she looks at me. She goes, are you a shaman? And my immediate was, no, you know, cause I never even considered that or anything. And she goes, you need to look into that. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, I got a vision. She goes, there was, you know, one person there and then there was like a whole tribe behind him and they were all coming, you know, and facing me. And the lead guy, he had two rocks in his hands. He picked them up, he clapped them over his head and said, shaman. And I was like, whoa. I'm like, okay. She goes, so there is a line or ancestors or something. They are calling and you need to wake up and go figure this out. So I was like, okay. Because at that point in my life, I had never even considered it. I've heard of shaman. And from what I knew, you know, before I started doing research, I'm like, I'm not that. I'm not going to try and appropriate that. You know, and that's not me, but... I've done some research and there are things I see. It's like, oh, okay, I can follow this path, but I'd love to get more information from you. Like, what does it mean to be a shaman? What, you know, like, you are trained in a specific way. I'm sorry if I forget what your thing is, but I know there's...
Oh, it's the Pakokun.
Yeah.
Sorry. Pakokune tradition.
Yeah. So go ahead. Talk about that. Talk about shaman. And if you know of other tradition names or things, or just what do you, well, obviously because you are a shaman. So what can you share with us about being a shaman?
First off, it's funny because my whole life, my dad's nickname was Bhagwan from his friends. And if you look up the word Bhagwan, it usually has to do with like India. And I think like one of the main meanings of it is a sex guru, which is funny. but that also like a holy man, okay. Man of God, shaman, medicine man. Though, you know, it's just widely looked at as a sex guru, which I thought was super funny because my dad never mentioned that. And he was a... raised like strict Irish Catholic, so there's a lot of goofy things about that. I always just thought that was really neat. It was like, oh, my dad's like a medicine man, a shaman, and mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. And if you had ever gotten a chance to talk to him, he was extremely spiritual, super wise, and helpful and healing just by being around people. And when I was getting older and like finding my spirituality and how I wanted to go about things, I've always been interested in the spiritual world, spirituality, mm-hmm. a lot of questions and stuff, but like I always thought it'd be really neat to be a shaman. And ironically, I just, after my spiritual awakening, and which it was so intense that I literally the next day went to the hospital and got my brain checked because I was worried I had a stroke.
Wow.
it was very intense, very like a lot of visuals. Mm-hmm. It felt like an acid trip to me because I was literally in my friend's basement with them watching TV. And the next thing I know, I'm talking to my spirit guides and talking about the universe and how things work and like facing my own grief. And it was
wow,
overwhelming and powerful. And when I came back around, my friends said that nothing had happened. And I was like, dude, I just saw like four beings literally just step into your guys' bodies and talk to me. And I'm like, did you drug me?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I'm going home.
Yeah, that would definitely be like, what in the world just happened? That'd be crazy.
Oh, and like, I didn't know what to do with what happened either.
Mm-hmm.
I was like worried, so I called my primary care doctor, and I'm like, hey, I don't know what happened, but I'm worried I had a stroke.
Okay.
And so she got me in, got an MRI, all this, nothing was wrong. Everything was fine. And which is great, but I'm still going, then what the heck was that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for some weird reason, a friend that I was mainly like, he was a friend of a friend, and like we really connected and we had a lot of fun, but we hadn't like gone out of our way to be like hang out and be like, become better friends. And that the day I got home from the MRI and everything, mm-hmm. I was just like, I need to talk to somebody about this but also I was a little freaked out. Like if I tell people about this, they're gonna think I'm fucking nuts. They're gonna think I'm nuts.
Yeah, think you're crazy.
And I know it sounded crazy. It was crazy to me.
Yeah.
And like I didn't know what to do about it. And I felt a strong need to talk to my friend, Casey is his name, and he eventually became my teacher in shamanism.
Oh wow!
And when I called him and I'm like, hey, I don't know why, but I really want to talk to you because he'd already like basically told us about his like spiritual beliefs and how he goes about things, so I knew that to a point he would understand or maybe I could get some insight or whatnot. And yeah. I knew that I felt drawn to call him and talk to him.
Yeah, he could share some knowledge. Maybe he has some insight as to what just happened to you so you can get clarity. Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and so I call him up and we're talking and I decided that I would tell him the whole entire experience. And he's like, wow, you just had your spiritual awakening, brother, and you called the right person because, like, he at this time he was training more into shamanism and energy healing, and like, and he made me feel like I wasn't crazy.
That's and good. That's
also helpful. Made me feel like everything's okay. Yes, it's intense, and I guess from a lot of people I've talked to since then, when you have a strong spiritual awakening, it can be quite upsetting or scary.
Yeah,
and like, don't get me wrong, it was beautiful and amazing, but when you don't see that coming or know that's going to happen, it's very intimidating too.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. I don't know how I would react if something like that happened to me. So yeah, it'd be crazy.
Yeah. And so he made me feel safe again and made me feel like I wasn't bonkers. And this was shortly after I had had a dream that solidified my belief system, and then had the awakening, and then it was set in stone. I knew it's hard to explain, but I knew how I went from having I wonder how the universe works. Like, how is the energy work? Are we all connected? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. And after that awakening, I was like, I just had a feeling of I understand better. I feel this. I know this is true to me.
Wow.
You know? And so I started connecting with Casey about all of this, and he told me about how he was working and becoming learning more and doing more rituals and shamanism, and that he was like, I would love to introduce you to my mentor and teacher. And so as time went by, I was like, you know, this would be something really fun to get into and learn. And they I think it was 2 years later, they had their classes open up. And they had limited, limited spots for this. Uh-huh. And I decided that it was time. And it was something I'd always been interested in and wanted to do. And
okay,
so I got into the class and I did that. And ironically, that then Casey was my mentor through that, all the trainings and rituals and classes on how to do everything. Excuse me, I'm talking too fast that I'm not breathing.
All right, don't die on the podcast, all right? Don't die on the podcast. Right?
Oh, episode 5, Jameson passes along. So there was still, I had my hang-ups with it because I think I've mentioned it many times. I am a skeptical person, and I always question everything. It's you say you're a psychic. Well, in this day and age, you can literally Google somebody and find so much information on them and pictures and, you know, that you can say things that might come off as if you're psychic, but little did we know you just Googled me. And so there was those hangups, those skeptical things that I felt were holding me back from completely embracing shamanism, spirituality, tarot reading. Is I knew that I had a gift, but I didn't know if it was a gift or if I was just, as goofy as it sounds, I was scared I was just manipulating people. I don't like that feeling. I don't want to ever be deliberately taking advantage of people, or even indeliberately. I don't think that's not right.
Yeah.
And we all know there's charlatans in everything. There's always charlatans.
Yeah.
And I had to figure out for myself if what I was doing was real. And I know that sounds goofy, but I needed to feel like I was doing the right thing and not the wrong thing.
No, I totally understand that. Well, totally.
And I figured at least a place where I could start learning was to put those worries aside and learn.
Uh-huh.
Become a shaman. It's like, what's the best way to learn about spirituality and shamanism than to be officially trained in it? And that's where I started. And I had a a lot of hang-ups on how to fully embrace the training. And I wasn't completely opening up to my mentors about, like, my skepticism, my worries, that imposter syndrome, which we've talked about before, you and I.
Yes.
And I'm so happy that eventually I decided to actually tell him all of my worries and anxieties about this. And he was like, I know you. I know that you have a healing gift and that you care about people. You're a strong empath. He's like, you have like psychic powers beyond belief, which I still don't believe that, but I've had too many, what is it called? Affirmations, I guess.
Yeah. Affirmations, yeah, experiences, that, something. Yeah.
That I can't explain that make me go, but I still haven't jumped on that one and said, yeah, maybe. I think I'm intuitive, and that's what'll stick with until the universe tells me otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. Intuitive. That's a great word. That's one I use all the time because I'm just extremely intuitive. And just going back, like the imposter syndrome and that kind of area, and like not. It's not believing in yourself, because I think we all face that when we get into this and start doing it. I know I had a lot of that, because I was like, okay, yeah, I'm connecting, but am I really? You know, or am I just making this up, and that's what they want to hear, and because it's the word that's coming out of my mouth, you know, it's like, how, right. am I really? And then I saw that, you know, like some of my readings, it really impacts people. You know, it's like, I'm like, okay. There's no way I could have known that, so this is real. I am giving messages, yeah. And so I have this very kind of jokey, bullshitty kind of nature. You know, like, I'll joke around. I always diffuse tension with jokes, kind of thing. And
yeah,
I'll throw a lot of little offhand comments out. And before I actually got into like really reading tarot and everything, a lot of my offhand comments would land with people. It's like, how did you know to say that? I'm like, I don't know. I was just like, whatever. It just came out of my mouth, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, no, because that means that, you know, no, that really connects here, you know. And I was like, oh, okay, there are gifts here. So let me focus this stuff. And so that's where I kind of got into tarot. But yeah, the shamanism, man, this is amazing. It's something more that I'm learning. I've got a couple books on, you know. I don't feel myself as like the traditional medicine man kind of thing, because I don't think that would ever be my journey. Right. But there's a lot of, I've read, and there's like urban shamanism is a thing that I've heard. You know, so like, that's kind of me. I'm more in an urban, but I do feel at home, you know, out in nature, the ocean. Put me next to the ocean and it's magical. It's magical. So I think yeah. a lot of my stuff, I connect there somehow. So I'm trying to figure out how, you know, I'm learning a few things, you know, going on journeys, you know, just kind of like meditating myself and like meeting guides and these kind of things, you know, putting the energy out there so I can see what comes to me.
Right. And like, what's great about like shamanism is it's a tool, like, especially like, yes, I was trained in the Paco Kune tradition and I learned their rituals. I learned how to use and do energy healing. I learned how to do like talk to my spirit guides, go on spirit journeys. Mm-hmm. It's spirit journeys are basically like dream walking, but you're awake. Yeah, and yeah. That stuff was, that's when I really started to go, wow, this is neat. And actually this learning to spirit journey was when I finally decided to talk to Casey, my mentor, about my worries and anxieties and like, you know, the things that were holding me back.
Yeah.
Because in when you start spiritual journeying or like walking and like, I can't remember the exact like name for it, and I keep calling it spiritual walk, like journeying. And I don't know if that's the right like.
That's but, the. We'll take it. This is the terminology that that you use for it. So, and whether that's correct or not, it's correct for you. So that's what we're gonna do. And if
like when you've cleared yourself and started to like really step into the journeying, your guides will come and talk to you. It's because it's the literally like the place where they exist. Where they are and where you can really connect, see them, talk to them. And when I first started doing this, I'm like, I look at Casey, I'm like, Casey, what if I'm just making this up in my head? Like, what if I'm literally just imagining this? And he said, so? He's like, what if you are? Are you hurting anybody? Are you helping yourself? He's like, the fun part is that you're holding yourself back because you are literally just going, oh no, what if I'm just making this up? When, what if you're not? And what if your guide is standing right in front of you telling you information? And because you're questioning that information, you're not receiving the message.
Oh, wow.
And he also said, like, accept that you may be making this up. Because then once you accept that you might be making this up, he's like, your guides and your spirit guides will affirm and show you and tell you things that there's no way in hell you know. And that's when you'll start to know the truth, because you'll start listening to the messages, because you stop letting the distractions take away from your focus.
Okay.
And that was very true, because every time I thought to myself, what if I'm making this up?
Uh-huh.
The whole spirit world would start fading away, and I would have to re-meditate and re-get centered and do the whole ritual all over again to get there.
All right. I understand that completely. Yeah. Now I'm tongue-tied. This is great. This must be important, because if I can't talk, this is something that's really hitting home with me. It was the whole, when I was really doing my readings, and, you know, people are like, you know, believe in yourself, you know, you're getting the message, believe me, you really are, so believe that you are and just say it and do it, because there was always that point, it's like, okay, I'm just making up this story, is this really connecting, you know, I had that feeling I was making up the story, but I wasn't, you know, I was reading the thing, and so it's getting past that step. It's like, okay, so what if it is your mind making it up? It actually means something to you. So guess what? Stop worrying about that and, you know, accept the message and move forward. So, wow.
Yeah. And a lot of the times, we as humans, and if you look into the science of like humanity and how our brains work, you're going to find that humans have duality and complete duality in themselves.
Okay.
You have your left brain and your right brain. You have your creative brain. You have your intellectual brain. Your skepticism and your questions come from your intellectual, from your, like, your that part of your mind. But if you're always in the intellectual part of your mind, you're not going to connect to the other side.
The other half.
The spiritual, the artistic, the beautiful part. You're going to be fully focused on how exactly things work, that you're not accepting that things are just working.
Wow. Okay. That's wonderful. Wow. That just really blew my mind open. So I'm like, okay. Yeah.
And like becoming a shaman, they start to teach you that, like, that intellectual part and your worries and anxieties, that's your shadow self. That's part of you. Like, every time you go, oh, I don't know if this is for me, or I don't know if I'm doing this right, that's your shadow self talking. That's the part of you that you haven't accepted yet. And in like shamanism, you start to learn to fully embrace you, because the shadow self's not bad. It's, you know, it's never a bad thing. It's just that, but if you don't accept it, it's going to continuously make you feel like it's bad.
Yeah. And it will keep manifesting itself in your life until you do acknowledge it and accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was a part of my journey into accepting, like, my shadow self and accepting, like, my intellectual mind and my spiritual mind.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. Hi, kitty!
I hear me
working
now.
Together. Oh, and, man. The, like, having Casey, like, literally just tell me, like, oh, so what? And, like, once I was like, you know what? Just go with the flow. So what if I am making it up? And that's when my old man spirit guide, which I don't know his name. I think he's Odin, but he never has told me his name.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he started telling me things that I had no way of knowing.
And wow.
Started getting, like, actual affirmations that made me go, wait a second, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
Like I started doing my, like, spirit journeying before bed and after I woke up. And that it helped me really, like, center and, like, learning, like, the breathing techniques. Really, you're so calm and so happy when you, especially breath work. Breath work is amazing. And in shamanism, they teach you that because you if you're not breathing, like, I'm not breathing while I'm talking. I'm just chipper, chipper, chipper. Next thing I know, I'm like, and breath work is important. And one morning I'm doing my my spirit walking and I'm like talking to my guide and he's like, oh, don't get ready for work. He's like, the job's not ready. You're going to get called off. Like, he's like, there's just no use in it. Don't put your work clothes on. Don't get your hard hat. You're not going to work. Well, my brain was still like, I probably just made that up. So I'm just going to get ready for work because if I'm late, I'm late and that's no good.
Yeah.
And I get in the car, I'm halfway to work and my boss calls me and tells me that the job's behind. You're not coming in today. And I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, son of a gun. And I was like, holy crap. That was an affirmation. Was that an affirmation? I think that was an affirmation.
That was an affirmation, yes. Yes, believe it. It's like the universe going, how many times do I have to hit you over the head with this so you understand that was it?
Oh, man, it's entertaining. It's entertaining.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So, like, to me, like, I've gone off on a lot of tangents and, like, talking about shamanism meant to me equilibrium of my I almost want to say sarcastic, I mean my skeptical brain and my spiritual brain. I've always really, like, leaned on my spiritual brain because, like, I'm an artist. I love doing things. I love making things. And so, like, that's a major part of me. I've also always been an intellectual, whether I enjoyed doing it or not. I was always really good at science, math, history, and, you know, but I never, like, loved that. But yeah. It's still a part of you. You're still going to use that. And I felt that, like, shamanism was that equilibrium. And it helped me feel like I was going to find more answers that I wanted to know about or at least explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And, like, in the Paco Kune tradition, they teach you a lot about different herbs and, like, the rituals that go behind these herbs and, like, what they use. Like, the Paco Kune tradition is from the Andes in South America.
Okay.
And they have a lot of, like, traditions that, you know, they, for example, like, to completely accept your shadow self, they have a really, really, it's like one of the most important rituals. And it is, you go into the mountains and you take ayahuasca and guess what, buddy? You're going to kill yourself and survive and be reborn. And I don't mean that literally, like, kill yourself, but you're going to, like, defeat the part of you that needs to be absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to confront it and you're going to become one.
Okay.
I haven't done that because I haven't had the time to go to South America because that's where that ritual would take place. But I've, like, many of my, like, other shaman friends, they have gone and done that and they've been like, this is extremely important. And one day I will. One day, maybe.
One day.
I'm not a big fan of things that mess with your mind.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just because I'm not ready yet. But yeah, I'm not too worried about that yet.
Yeah.
Maybe someday down the line, maybe never. Because
Yeah.
like the shamanism is important to me, but it's not like I'm not like that's my whole gosh,
Identity.
identity.
Yeah. Damn, we both
Yeah,
said that at the same time. Identity.
right. My identity is me, and I am a hodgepodge. I'm like a lot of things, and I very much love. I have millions of hobbies. I pick up new hobbies left and right, and I learn as much about them as I can, and like I bounce between them. Sometimes I stick around, sometimes they don't. And so like the kept continuing to go through the shaman training, learned a lot of amazing things. Like I was also going through, this was the time when my found out my bones were dying and that I have osteonecrosis. With osteonecrosis, the insides of your bones are literally decaying. They're necrosizing.
Ooh,
And
ouch.
during this, I'm in so much pain all the time with fibromyalgia and osteonecrosis. I constantly deal with pain, but I don't let it control myself, especially like it used to control me because I used to have a pill problem because I was always in pain. I was prescribed pain meds, and then I needed those to feel like I wasn't in pain. And that eventually I realized this is not what I want with life, and I got rid of that part of me. And that's actually the almost a year to the day after I got off the pain meds was when I had my spiritual awakening. And which is really, really funny because if you go into like Buddhism, in Buddhism, you need clean body, clean mind, clean mouth to fully be Buddha, to be like truly powerful spiritually, you need to be clean. And yeah, that's there's a lot of different, there's a lot of things, like everybody thinks of things differently. So that rang in my head when I had my spiritual awakening and realizing that, oh, that was the first time in my life I was completely like quote unquote clean, you know.
Definitely.
And also leading up to that was I had already started learning a lot about like different herbs and how to use them, different teas. And like I started learning literally everything I could about every plant I could even find. And I literally have a book that where it's like all the herbs I've learned about, I have written down the herb and everything I've learned about it, because I that's how I remember things. I have to write it down.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And once I had gotten off the pain meds, it was starting to use like find out about herbs, and I found out when I was having a flare up of my fibro or in a lot of pain, I would go into my herb cabinet, which is like well over 200 different herbs now, and gather the few herbs I wanted and make a tea. And wow, I made a tea that wouldn't could knock me on my butt. I made a tea that would get rid of any pain. And now I don't need those that often. If I have a really bad day, I can make a tea. Great. And oh, I totally got off topic, didn't I?
Don't worry about it. No, see, that's what I love about this, because we start getting into a subject and then we just keep going, and then we go, oh, wait a minute, what was I talking about?
Right.
No. I think this is all fascinating, really, and I can't wait to hear what any kind of feedback we get. I know I have two friends that are like, "Oh my God, talk more about shamanism because I need to know this or this, or I'm curious about this topic." And one of my friends, she said she had a instructor somewhere who went through like a shaman journey and everything, and he was telling them about that, and she was just so fascinated by it. So, I mean, I think this is great. You know, that's what this podcast is about, so we can talk about these things.
When we were learning about the topic I got off of is during my shaman training was when I got where I found out about my osteonecrosis, and I was dealing with a lot of pain issues and having no longer taking pain meds and still learning about my herbs and stuff. There was many bad days of pain.
Okay.
And during the training, you learn to do energy healing. And, okay. My skeptical brain was like, that's all placebo. even if I felt that way, I'm like, I am open-minded. If somebody's going to be able to help me with energy, even if I don't believe it, what if it works?
Exactly.
Why not try it?
Exactly.
And, Casey was like, hey, would you be interested in me doing like an energy healing on your back and hips to help you with the pain? And I was like, well, can't hurt. Let's give it a try, you know? And we met out and like we found a spot in nature where we both were like, oh, this is the spot. And he did the ritual and like started doing the energy healing. And when you're learning shamanism, you start to be way more cognitive of energy flows and feeling that.
Okay.
Because you spend a lot of time, because you, to use them, use energy, you have to feel it. And that's, you know, that's a hard thing to get a grasp on, especially if you're like, oh, what if I'm making this up?
Mm-hmm. Of course, of course.
A lot of the rituals are about like getting that flowing and learning how to make it go where you want it, make it do what you want. And you have to feel that. Uh-huh. And as soon as Casey, like, I couldn't see him. He was behind me the whole time. So I didn't know where in the ritual he was. I didn't know what he was doing in the ritual. But as soon as he never touched me during the whole healing.
Okay.
As soon as his hands were, I guess, aimed at my lower back and hips, it literally felt like a warm, like when you put like icy hot on.
Oh, wow.
And it was like this warm, cool feeling that like literally felt like almost like a breeze hitting my lower back or water flowing through.
Mm-hmm.
And I started feeling true relief. Wow. And I was like, wow. Oh, and at the time I was in so much pain, I couldn't turn a certain direction.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, when you throw out your back or throw out your neck, like you can't look this way without turning your whole body.
Uh-huh.
And after he did the healing, I turn and look at him, not even thinking about this at all. And I look back and I'm like, you know what, man, I'm pretty sure I feel a lot better. Like, I don't know, because, you know, it's like when you have a really bad headache for like 2 hours and then it goes away. And your brain's like in shock, and you're like, "Do I still have the headache?
Yeah,
is it actually gone?" Like, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, "Man, I think that actually did something." He's like, "Oh yeah, it definitely did. You're turning this way, and you haven't turned that way all day."
So it's
and I'm just like,
"Yeah, it sounds like like Reiki healing to me."
It's very, very similar.
Yeah, so energy work like that. Yeah, because I had a friend who was very good with Reiki. I was having a problem with my shoulder, and it was just really bothering me one day. It's like, here, let me do a little work on you, a little energy work. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm open minded to anything, man. It's like, if you can make my shoulder feel better, go to it. You know, I'm more power, and I will let you do whatever it is. If I'm feeling better, I will let you do whatever you want to do. And so it's like, boom, and just within 5 minutes, you know, same kind of thing. I felt like this warm sensation just kind of like flowing, and my shoulder felt better like for like the next couple of weeks. I was like, wow, I was really impressed. So, yeah, I understand. Yeah,
exactly. And it was mind-blowing and, like, surprising. Mm-hmm. And then what's funny is, like, even like shortly after that, my brain was still going, placebo.
Power of suggestion. I was like, yeah, but I've never had power suggestion last like 2 weeks, you know? So it's like, okay.
That's exactly it. It was like for a good month after that, I was feeling a lot better. Yeah. And
so, then, yeah.
Like during...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. During my training, I started to learn that ritual and how to perform that. Mm-hmm. And I don't do it often because it's still when you're going to do an energy healing on somebody, it takes a lot of effort to not feel like a goofball.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, or to feel weird or feel like you're that's when I have to fight my skeptical brain the most is when I'm actually trying to do like help somebody do energy healing. And I still have issues with that, but I've done things with it since then that still boggle my mind, but I haven't gotten fully comfortable with doing that. And it's not something I go out. I don't go and do it often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very neat. Like I definitely can like send people major flows of energy that make them go, whoa, what was that?
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. During COVID time when we're all locked down and everybody's doing stuff on Zoom, I found this group and they did a lot of different like classes on different things. And eventually, it got around to Reiki. So I was like, okay, I'm interested. I don't know what it is. A lot of these classes are more like informational. It wasn't like, oh, take 3 classes, you're a Reiki master. Because, it takes a little more than, a 45-minute class to make you, a master on anything. This, so it was really good given the information and stuff. And, went through it and kind of the exercises. And then, the whole part, it's like, okay, imagine, moving your hands back and forth and you're forming a ball of energy between your hands. And, then see that grow and build. And that's when I was like, okay, this is, that's where my skeptical mind or my intellectual mind jumped in and said, dude, this is stupid. Instead of going, wait a minute, open, here I am, like, I'll grab my tarot deck and give you a reading and know I connected with you. An intellectual brain doesn't say a word about that. But, here's something new now, and now my intellectual brain's going, dude, this is stupid. This is all just, you're just making this up. You're making this up. And so it's, you have to quiet that side to let the other side open and to feel these things. So...
And that's still a struggle. You're going to, especially if you have a strong intellectual mind, you're going to be fighting yourself.
Yeah.
As goofy as it sounds, like two sides of my brain are duking it out. The only problem is they're equally strong, so they just stalemate out half the time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Man, this episode has been so great. It's like the driving point of this whole thing is like, accept it. It's believe in yourself. It really is happening, but you have to let it be. You have to quiet that intellectual side and tap in.
A lot of the rituals when people have a hard time with them is also when they're constantly putting all their thought into thinking about doing it.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of like healing and shamanism is about intention, setting the intention, and let it flow. You don't sit there and focus on it after that, because now you're not doing what you should be, because you're constantly going, oh, I need to push the energy down into the earth and then accept the energy above to flow through me. If you're just constantly thinking about that, and when it's like, if you take a bucket of water, and you grab a hose and you put the hose under the water to get some water in it. And then you lift the hose up and the water starts flowing through the hose. And then you put it back in the water and now you have suction and you have flow. And now that hose has become a vacuum that will eventually empty that bucket of water. That's what intention is. You set the intention. Are you sitting there thinking about that flow the whole time that it's going? No, you get a little water in the hose, you lift it up, the flow starts, you put it back into the bucket, and it does its thing. It flows. And that's what setting your intentions is about. You set your intention to, I am going to give Pachamama my heavy energy. I'm going to accept the light energy from above, and then don't think about it. You
Oh,
set the intention, the
yeah.
flow is going.
Okay.
Now go about, and yeah, there's some neat stuff. There's a lot in it. Like when we decided we were gonna talk about this, I'm like, I don't know if I can like fully talk about everything that shamanism is or has to do, and like it was a heck of a class, and there's still a lot to learn. Like
Oh, yeah.
just because I am technically a full shaman doesn't mean that I'm a master. I am definitely not a master shaman. As I
Yeah,
would not feel
definitely.
confident training the next shaman.
Okay.
I would feel that I still need to go to my mentor and his mentor and learn more. There's so much to learn. You're never gonna stop learning until you're dead. And even then, I'm pretty sure that we don't stop learning after that either.
Yeah, well, energy can not be destroyed or created. Energy just changes form, kind of thing. So yeah, we're energy now, but then when this mortal body dies, the energy moves on to its next state, or returns to its state, whichever way you want to look. Yeah, oh man, so much of that stuff rang true, because it's even, I'm thinking about, like, okay, and it made sense, because I get caught up, like, on new things, like shamanism, and like trying to do these journeys, little meditations and so on. It's all like, I get so caught up in, like, oh shit, what was the next step? What's the next step? What am I supposed to be doing here? That I forget to let the experience happen. It's like, when I started doing tarot, I started laying out, I was so concerned, am I laying out the cards, because I use the Celtic cross spread, am I laying out the cards the right way, is that what it was, okay, now what does this mean? And I would get so worried about, did I lay the cards out right, I forgot to read them. So it would get in the way. And then I can also relate it to another thing, which, who knows, somebody listening to this might ring true to them. It's like with cooking and stuff. When I'm cooking, it's like, okay, I've learned, I've read the recipes, I know different techniques and so on. So when I'm making a meal, I'm not thinking, oh, now I'm browning it, now I'm sauteing, that means this, that means this. I just do it, You just start doing it. It's like, okay, I know the meal I'm gonna create, or I'm gonna make, so, and I know how to do all the steps, so I just do the steps. And that's so it's the learning, where you have to learn the stuff and then actually do it and stop worrying, are you doing everything exactly right?
Being comfortable with the recipe so that oh, I really only need a couple of pinches of salt. I don't actually have to measure out a quarter teaspoon.
A lot of my seasonings, it's like, throw it in. It's like, well, how much? It's like, until it seems right, till it feels right, because you, if it's a dish you've made, if it's the first time I've made a dish, yes, I will follow the recipe, exact measurements, everything. Once I get that and figure out, oh, okay, these are the techniques, this is what I'm doing, I stop measuring a lot of stuff after that. It's just like, okay, that seems right, that feels right, and it works.
Just made me laugh when I'm making my homemade mac and cheese, and my wife was trying to make it, and she's like, "How much milk do you put in?" I'm like, "A dabble." She's like, "What is a dabble?" I'm like, literally, it's a dabble. And I picked up the milk and I just did a little dribble. And she's like, "How much is that?" I'm like, "Just enough and not too much. It's a dabble." It
Exactly.
was it just totally reminded me. It was so funny. What is a dabble?
I know, it's like, this one time I was making breakfast, scrambled eggs, right? And my mom's all like, your scrambled eggs come out more, fluffier than mine. What do you do? And so she's watching me. And so, put the eggs in a bowl. And then I go, you just do a glug of milk. She goes, what's a glug? And I just grabbed it. I was
A
like,
glug, a
glug?
dabble.
Yeah. I was like, that much. And she goes, oh, I put more milk in. I go, yeah, the more milk you put in, the less fluffy the eggs are going to be, Mom. And she was like, oh, now I get it. So, it's that kind of thing. So it's crazy
Yeah,
how
Mom,
those.
come on. You're doing a you need to go do a glug.
Yeah, exactly. So you just got to do a little glug. That's it. Not a heavy glug, a light glug. Oh my gosh. See, I love that we can take these things and relate it to everywhere else. It's like it's the same stuff, no matter what you put your focus on. Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, get the rules or at least get the guideposts and then just start doing it. Do it. Yeah. Do the thing.
Yeah. It's like right now, this episode, I apologize, guys. You're not going to learn everything about shamanism right now. You're just getting a little glug, a little dabble.
Oh, there you go. I love it. No, that's great. That's great. Do you believe we have been recording for over an hour right now?
No way. Yeah. I haven't even looked at the time.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yes,
man.
Sir. I mean, where's it go? Funny. Where does it go? This is nuts.
But that's because, like, I absolutely love these times we have. I love chit-chatting with you about, like, all the things that you and I are just, we're so passionate about these.
There you go. Yeah, passionate.
These things, and they mean so much to us, and because we both have this passion, you and I can talk about, heck, we do. Like, I text you more than I text my own wife.
That's great.
She's always like, who are you talking to? I'm like, Charlie.
My boyfriend, don't worry about it. No. yeah, I wanted to get into like paranormal stuff, and I don't know. Do we want to go super long on this, or what do we want to do? Where do we feel?
I think we should stick with around an hour, because I don't want to overdo it, and I like that. Like you and I, when we're doing like our notes for like podcast ideas and what we want to talk about, I think it's actually good that we don't get into every topic, because then the people have something to look forward to next time. And I think that next, especially because this whole episode was 90% me talking. I know about paranormal, but you are way more comfortable with that topic, and I would love to hear you go into it more.
Okay.
And I think that'd be a great episode.
All right. We can save that. And there's a couple events I've got coming up, and actually this one's going to publish. When this one publishes, I'll have just gotten back from another event up in Virginia City. Virginia City, Nevada, for people who don't know, is this old silver mining town. It's still very rustic. The main street still has like the wood boardwalks up and down for the main section of it. You know, all the buildings are super old. That entire town is haunted. It is just amazing. The energy there is like nothing I've ever felt before. A lot of the ghost hunting shows got their start just by doing things at Virginia City, the Silver Queen Hotel. There's a lot of famous, the Washoe Club, and actually the event I'm doing, it's April 11th. April 11th and 12th is kind of focused on the Washoe. This is the smaller event, and that club is just crazy. I've investigated so many times. There's always different spirits, different things, you know, whoever wants to reveal themselves when we're doing it. It's just, you know, again, barely scratch the surface of that place. I'm on a team, and our team leader, Michelle LeBaron, the Ghost Magnet, who she's a rising star out there in the paranormal field, and the Washoe is her home. I mean, she has investigated that place more than anybody that I know, and she's intimately aware of everybody and friends with so many spirits in that club, and there's just so much to get into. Anyway, I could just keep talking for hours if I drop into that, so I'm going to pull myself back.
I really, really can't wait to keep, like, not can't wait. I'm just so excited about our podcast and journey forward. And
and
to all our listeners out there, like, please, please send us emails. It is insightfuljourneyjc@gmail.com. I would love to hear your guys' feedback. I've gotten feedback from like my friends that I have had listened to it, but I'd love to hear from anybody that, hey, if I don't know you, I'd love to hear what you think.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We posted up. There's, you know, our website, insightfultarot.com. The podcast is on a page up there. You can put comments there. There's a contact form off of the website. You can contact Jameson or myself. or both of us, you know, we have the Gmail address, insightfuljourneyjc@gmail.com. All of this stuff will be in the show notes, of course. And yes, we definitely would love feedback. If there's any topics you want to hear us talk about, if you have any thoughts on anything we've talked about, please share your feedback. Email us. Both of us.
Yeah, you can visit us on Facebook, The Insightful Journey on Facebook. And
yes.
I spend a lot of time on there. Comment, message, whatever you'd like. We love everybody, and we'd love to hear from everybody.
Yeah, we're both available for readings, anything. If you have questions, comments, concerns, I mean, anything. You're curious about things, ask us questions. Both of us are open books. We love to share our knowledge. We love to help people.
And like this journey that we've created is going to be so much fun. It's an adventure, and I'm excited to be walking on this path, especially with my brother, Charlie. You're literally my soul brother. And speaking of soul brothers and connection, I haven't gotten the date nailed down yet, but soon we're going to have a professional come on the show and do our past life reading.
Ooh.
And she's amazing, and I can't wait for her to come on. I'm not giving out her name because I'm a spoiler alert. I don't like to spoil things for people, but I'm extremely excited because Charlie and I, we've been brothers and know each other in past lives. Like, I haven't had a connection where I met somebody and was like, oh, that's my brother. I don't even know him. That's my brother.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's from probably about the second or third time that we sent messages back and forth. I'm all like, I know this guy. I'm like, I've been connected to him before. I'm like, I know him. He's part of my, you know, I could say the most offhanded thing and he'd know exactly what I mean when I say it. So, yeah, we have that connection.
Right.
It'd be so great to see where we have been connected in the past, what else we have gone through, because we obviously know each other. You know, we on that soul level, we are brothers. And I do feel I've always been the older brother, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure than that, too.
Part of my journey, part of my day. But anyway, it's so great.
Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. We're going to continue this, so if this is enjoyable to you, you can be excited, because every 2 weeks, we will have another episode out, and we plan on doing this for a long time, so... Yeah, enjoy. Thank you for your time. Your time is worth it to us, and that means the world to us.
Exactly. And if there are like any events, any psychic events, you know, spiritual events, whatever, and that you think we would enjoy, you know, help spread the word. We'll help advertise things and events that we're going to be at, or if there's a play, you know, if you know of an event that's like, oh, you'd fit in perfectly there, let us know. We'll check it out and see. And you know, we appreciate it so much. Thank everybody for listening, and like Jameson said, every 2 weeks we have a new episode, so can't wait to talk to you next time.
Stay tuned for episode 6. Dum, dum, dum. Everybody have a wonderful week, weekend, 2 weeks. Have a wonderful life. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.